You are now listening to another edition of the More Abundant Life Radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host. And today we have a presentation by Pastor Wendley Phipps, which is a continuation of one that we started in the previous broadcast. The title, New Wineskins for New Wine. The New Year's sermon that Pastor Phipps preached, we began it last week, and because of time we had to cut the sermon short and cut it in two, actually. So we're going to hear part two of that. It's going to be program number 310 in our series, and I do hope that you'll stay tuned and enjoy the continuation and conclusion of this message here with us on the More Abundant Life. Now, before we get into the message, here is a song by Wendley Phipps entitled, It Is Well With My Soul.
with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This is Adrian Westney, and we just heard music by Wintley Phipps, a song entitled It Is Well With My Soul from the CD release Favorite Hymns of Billy Graham. Now we're going to get right to the message. Part 2, New Wineskins for New Wine. Here is Pastor Phipps.
Church in Bible times, wine was not kept in glass bottles. What the Bible called bottles were really goat skins, sewn around the edges, watertight bags. Those were the bottles of Bible times. And in those days, they realized that as new wine expanded and fermented, it stretched the wineskins. So they also noticed that after the wine had aged, the stretched skin would burst it more. And if new wine was poured in, it was even worse. New wine, therefore, was always put into what kind of wineskins? New wineskins. And one of the reasons our resolutions and our promises to God never seem to last is because we make promises without changing the environment into which those new promises are poured. We can never keep our promises to God if we pour our new hopes and dreams into the bottles of our old attitudes and our old behaviors and our old lifestyles and our old patterns. To keep promises to God, you must radically change your lifestyle and your pattern and your behavior and your attitude. Attitude is imperative. It is important. Once upon a time, there was an old man, a very wise man. Every day, he would sit outside of his gas station in a rocking chair, wait to greet motorists as they passed. And on one day, his grandson knelt down at the foot of his chair and slowly passed the time away with his grandpa. And as they sat and watched the people come and go, a man who had was obviously a tourist, he began looking around as if he were checking the place out for area to live. The stranger walked up to the old man and said, "So what kind of town is this that I'm in?" The man replied, "Well," what Grandpa said, "what kind of town are you from?" The tourist said, "Well, in the town where I'm from, everybody is critical of everybody else, and the neighbors all gossip, and it's really a negative place to live. I'm sure glad to be leaving. It's not a very cheerful place." The old man in the chair looked at the stranger and said, "Grandpa," said, "you know, that's just how this town is." An hour later, a family that was also stopping for gas, mother jumped out, two children went into the restroom. The father also got out of the car, struck up a conversation with the old man. He said, "Is this town a pretty good place to live?" Grandpa in the chair said, "Tell me about the town you're from. How is it?" Father looked at him and said, "Well, in the town we're from, everyone is close. We're always willing to lend a helping hand. There's always a smile and a hello, thank you. I really hate to leave it. It's almost like we're leaving family." Grandpa said, "You know, that's a lot like this town." And then the family returned to the car, waved goodbye. The car disappeared. The young boy looked at his grandfather and said, "Grandpa, how come when the first man came, you told him it was a terrible place to live? And when the family came into town, you told him it was a wonderful place to live?" Grandpa looked down at his son and said, "Sonny, no matter where you move, you take your attitude with you. And that's what makes it a terrible place or a wonderful place. It all depends on your attitude." Huh? The more I realize the impact of attitude, Chuck Swindoll once said it this way. He said, attitude is more important than fact. It is more important than the past. Forget the past. But 5 years ago, that's what they did to me. 3 years ago, you know what she said to me. Forget the past. It's your attitude that counts. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Huh? Your attitude is measured by your response to challenging circumstance and challenging people. And people can be challenging. The way, amen. And that's the only way you know what kind of attitude you have is when you face challenging people. So they look like their chin should be on the ground. Smile at them. Praise the Lord. When life is going smoothly, everyone can have a good attitude. Amen. You can smile when you got money in your pocket. But let the road get bumpy, huh? Be treated unfairly by somebody, and watch how people's attitudes change. If you want God to bless you and you refuse to change your attitude, follow me. If you want God to bless you, but you won't change your attitude, what you are doing, said Jesus, is trying to put the new wine in the old wineskin. Jesus is telling us when you try to put new commitments into old behaviors and old habits, Jesus said the wineskins will burst. The wine will run out. The wine and the skins will be lost. The wine spoils your behavior. Your wine spoils when your behavior is wrong and your attitude. Oh, you're not listening. God could give you the greatest blessing, but if your attitude isn't right, the blessing will spoil. Are you listening to me? Oh, and by the way, you got to change your behavior. In the Old West, there was a man who had a problem with alcohol. And isn't it something? People who are alcoholics have a hard time acknowledging that they're alcoholics. But this man struggled with alcoholism, and finally he gained the victory. But every time he would go back to the old town, he would hitch his horse the same place he always hitched his horse, in front of the saloon. Finally, one day a man said to him, "Brother, let me give you some advice. Find a different hitching post. If you want God to bless you, you got to change your patterns. You got to change your lifestyles. Those who try to put new hope and new determination into their old habits will never succeed." Jesus is telling us old wineskins are only good for old habits. Old habits are for fermented wine, the wine of hypocrisy. You can put that in your old wineskin. Inconsistency. But if you want, Jesus said, to preserve the wine of your new faith, your new resolve, your new determination, you're going to have to get radically new, different wineskins, new patterns, new ways. You can't force your new faith down the rotting vessel. Are you with me today?
Yes.
You'll spoil your faith. You will lose your wine and your vessel. Here Jesus is telling us you can't follow your old path and keep your new joy. You can't settle for the lifestyle you've grown accustomed to and expect to preserve the integrity of your new faith. The only way to succeed is to center your faith in Christ and make new wineskins.
Amen.
That means you're going to have personal devotion, finally. Are you with me today?
Yes.
I'm going to have to make a decision to get up early. New patterns. Are you with me today? In other words, Jesus is saying, if you don't change your old routine, your new faith will spoil. When you put new devotion and new promises into old traditions and customs, your new commitment will spoil. The only way to succeed, to keep alive your new resolve, you got to commit not to travel down the same old paths. And you know one of the reasons the Lord is telling us this. In Bible times, God's people were dependent upon good harvest. And this is another illustration of that. But when they didn't serve the Lord the way they were supposed to, have mercy, Jesus. The rains didn't fall. Not even the dew fell. Huh? Clothes couldn't keep them warm. Their savings dried up. Anybody with a bank account wondering where all that money went? Barns empty, fields bare, wells dry. What's going on? Well, you see, even though God delights in pouring out his blessings upon us, God knows that blessings without character will destroy you. That's why you don't give your 16-year-old kid a Corvette. He'll self-destruct. Amen. Blessings without character will destroy you. You will self-destruct. And that's why God tries to fix your character so that when he pours the new wine of blessings, your character will be like new wineskin to hold the blessing. God says, give careful thoughts to your ways. Listen carefully. If your idea, I've got to say this. I don't want to rush. Maybe God has been speaking to somebody. You haven't been putting God first in your life. You've been professing you're a Christian, but you haven't been living like a Christian. And this is what the Lord impressed me to say in this message today. There are people who can't figure out why God hasn't blessed them this past year the way they hoped that he would. Because you put your house before his house. You put your kingdom before God's kingdom. And Jesus said, God said in his word, it's like he's pouring blessings into your bag, but it's got holes. Can't keep anything. Here's what God impressed me to say to somebody. If your idea of advancing the kingdom of God is coming to church, sitting in the pew, you can't be blessed. If your idea of advancing the kingdom of God is coming to church, warming a pew, and going home, you're gonna struggle because you're putting your house before God's house. And your blessings will spoil. You gotta change your patterns. Amen. Gotta change like old wineskins. We resist change. All we have are gifts from God. Your life is a gift from God. Your health is a gift from God. Amen. Your food, the clothes on your back may not be much to somebody else, but it's a gift from God. Angels protect you every day. You ought to thank God for the blessings. And God wants to give you more. But blessings without a new heart will spoil. Well, if you want to make the most of every opportunity God sends your way, there's some changes that you got to make. And you better make, some of us need to make them fast. Yes. Because time is fleeting. Time, are you with me today? time is just getting away. So take some time, brother. Take your wife out. Take her on a date. Y'all haven't been on a date since you were married. Amen. Go to a restaurant or the one you got at home. Do something. Time is getting away. Spend time with your children. I never apologize for the time I spend with my children. And you know, it's interesting. The people, I often say this, the people who deserve more of your time complain the least. Gary Freeman tells about a girl who went to college and she hated it. She told herself, if I can ever get out of college, get married, have children, I know I'll finally be able to enjoy life. Well, she went to college, graduated, got married, had children, discovered the children are a whole lot of work. Told herself, if I can just get these kids raised, then I'll be able to relax and enjoy life. Anybody been there? About the time the kids were entering high school, her husband said, guess what? We don't have enough money to send them to college. You're going to have to get a job. And she didn't want to, but she did. And she told herself, if I can just get these kids out of college, get some of these bills paid, I can quit work and really enjoy my life. Last kid graduated, all the bills were paid. She walked into her employer's office and said, I quit. He said, oh, no, you don't want to do that. If you just stay with us 8 more years, you'll have a pension. Amen. She said, well, I don't want to work another 8 years, but wow, all that money, I can't turn it down. So she worked for another 8 years. Finally, she and her husband retired at the same time, sold their home, bought a little retirement cottage, sat down on the swing on the front porch, looked at their family pictures, and dreamt about the good old days. We must be careful how we live because our time is limited. Amen. Psalmist said, show me, O Lord, my life's end, the number of my days. Now I realize some of you younger folks, 70 years old sounds like a long time. It doesn't sound that way to the people who are 70 years old. Huh? I remember when 40 was old. A few years ago, People magazine published an article entitled Dead Ahead. It told about a new clock. Keeps track of how much time you have left to live. It calculated an average lifespan of 75 years for men, 80 years for women. So in this clock, you programmed your sex and age, and from then on, it told you how much time you had left. Sold for $99.95. That's one gadget I don't think I'll ever buy. And I love gadgets, but that's not one I want. But that's what the psalmist was telling us to do when he said, number your days. It doesn't take long because your mind, it doesn't take long. Your mind often, I'm almost 50 and my mind is not as sharp. Come on now, somebody say amen. Because you know it's true. I read about a man who moved to a retirement community to spend the rest of his life. It wasn't long until he had made a number of friends. Among them, there was one special lady he was especially attracted to. He spent a lot of time with her, and one evening he proposed, asked her to marry him. The next morning he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. And so he went to her and he said, I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no. Oh, thank goodness, she said. I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me. Whatever you got to do for the Lord, do it now. Because your mind does not stay as sharp. Praise the Lord, he has promised, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. At the start of this new year, it means God's strength will be there for you. But I want you to know, some of you need to make some very important decisions about how you're going to live your life. Why are those decisions important? Because God wants to bless you. But he will not bless you the way he wants to if your old wineskins are all you've got to receive the new wine. You've got to change your pattern. You got to find a new hitching post. You got to find new amusements. Young people, you got to change the radio station. Gotta change older people, the television station. Gotta get new habits, new patterns, if you want God to bless you.
Well, that concludes the message for today. I hope that that was enjoyable for you, and hope that you gained a lot from this New Year's message, New Wineskins for New Wine. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, here's what you need to do. There are two things that you can do, two options. First, you can call 301-577-6342. That's the phone number for the Seabrook Church. And again, that phone number is 301-577-6342. And you want to refer to program number 310. That's program 310. That will give you the title for today, New Wineskins for New Wine, Part 2. You may also email a note to the Seabrook AV Department, and the email address there is seabrookav@yahoo.com, and they will also help you to obtain an audio copy of today's message, CD, or whatever other format you would like to have. Well, that music indicates that we must leave, so I will say goodbye for now, but I hope you'll join us again for another program. Until you can, though, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.